Dream team. Yes, got it. Okay, it's being recorded. All right, here we go. Well, here we are. So, in the brink of a new year, as I said, happy spooky year of dire beauty, everybody. So let's craft our vessels and hone our crafts. So as we journey along tonight, think of what you want to put in your vessel. All those things, liberating lightning, and just it's cumulative, and we'll open the chat, certainly. Let me remember to do that. Yes. Okay, excellent. So I thought this the following is a good way to open the year. Here we go. I just thought that's a great way to start the year. Vibration, vibration, perhaps to take us to the Alam Mithral. Let me introduce some old, new, ancient material. Remember the Alam Mithral, we sent it to you, I think, a couple weeks back in Dream News. Alam Mithral, it's Arabic. This is from a fabulous book called They Have a Word for It. Words in different cultures that, anyway. So Alam al-Mithra is Arabic, the world where images are real. All right, that's where we've been, that's where we're going on purpose now. And Saturn in Pisces, our companion now and through this year. Saturn's what's the most serious, realistic thing in the world? It's in Pisces, dreams, vision, imagination. So it says, in the book Dreams, Visions of the Night, had this to say of the world of images that can be approached. Oh, must quiet something over here. There we go. Can be approached through dreams, through visualization, and through that combination of focused intent, that's very Saturn, and guided visualizations known as active imagination. All right, we can suggest as we go along, I suggest we put metaphoric agility in our vessels, shape-shifty, change the metaphor, because the metaphor, the dream world, it's the template into which we invite animation, right? So, all images of myth and divine are all templates that have been animated, but we get to play in these realms, and especially, what myths and templates are outworn, and we dissolve them. We dissolve them. But I love this. In order to establish the reality of their spiritual experiences in dreams and vision, Muslim mystics were led to identify an existent world of images, the Alam Mithral. See, I think just the word is really transporting. Let's go to the Alam Mithral, or we're convening in the Alam Mithral, halfway between the material world and the world of intellect. The faculty of active imagination or imaginative consciousness by which one is able to enter this world should not be misinterpreted as fantasy. The world of images is not imaginary. One approaches it through a highly trained, well, we're slowly toning those muscles, and specific imagination. And the figures and images which inhabit have an existence of their own. We go, right. Well, this is part of my, ongoing linguistic, wondering and all. We use the word archetype a lot, I don't, because it's an old word, but Carl Jung used it to smuggle liberating wildness into academia. Nothing to worry about here. It's just an archetype, as opposed to an orisha, as opposed to a divinity with autonomy. No, it's just still under academic control. So we go, no, I think, and then we just prime our pump for other words. People, all, when I suggest things like this, people go, well, what would you suggest? And it's like, well, many things, many things. If one's in the world of branding, you pick one word and stick to it. But I think it's like, what would we call archetype? Well, orishas is from Santeria. Intelligences with a capital I is kind of the Kabbalistic realm. Genies. Just keep mixing. The more words, the more stories, the more metaphors, the more pathways of participation. So priming the pump of our metaphoric agility, our linguistic play. And we'll dive into the chart and all, but absolutely. Oh, good. People are chatting already. Okay. Well, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. That's good. Yes, Henry Corbin. Thank you, Sandra. You're so on top of everything. That's great. Yeah, we will put notes in Henry Corbin and all of this for me. I'm like, ooh, more dedication, more delving, more rummaging this, at the very least, our journey, our 7 weeks together has been like, ooh, pondering and open to, conversing, what would the next incarnation of this be? Would we want more Saturn structure? This week, we concentrate on the theme of leadership and how we see it in the way. Yeah, I'm not sure. This has been our Neptunian going where the planets guide, and there seems plenty. And then onward, experiment, experiment, experiment. Try things, try things. The image, the trickster spiral dancing, unfurling before us, right? So yeah, it is spooky. And I like crafting our vessels and honing our crafts, right? I'm loving that linguistic, metaphoric, wonderful trick, right? Both craft and vessel, are dedicated, and then they're also boats. And so I so love that. And then playing, rooting down in order to rise to the occasion. Remember the pixies, the spirits, in all pretty much all cultures, it's said that they like rhyming. They like word play. They like the thing we just heard, that the Turkish a cappella people going ding 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 ding. That's like, now we're in insect world, now we're in the Allemaal Mithral, the audio version of the Allemaal Mithral. It's like portals opening, very trippy, trancy. And for all of us, whatever we look at and whatever we have in our lives, we kind of track its lineage. Turkey is so interesting, right? Because it's this whoosh, everything pours in. Mongolian shamanism, and then the Western thing, and then Islam and some Christianity. It's all pouring in there. And then Islam comes in, and everybody coming in going, what's the predominant game? Okay, we'll cover the shamanism with is on underneath Islam everywhere. But we track all these things, like, what's the current? And I think I might have told you many times, but when I was last in India, I was like, there's some trickster thing missing. And then a friend had guided me to the Ruda mantra that in past courses, and we can bring it up again, it's very trippy meditation. And Rudra is the original egalitarian trickster. In India, he's like, what is this caste system? No, equal. It must be equal. And Shiva, we think of Shiva as pretty wild, but no, that's a con. Shiva's name means to quiet. So they put Shiva on top of Rudra, kind of like a blanket putting out a flame, going, shh, no more talk about equality. No. And part of, I think, our new year and our dynamic and what we're brewing and what we're putting in our boats is, tracking everything back and then It's the diaspora, right? Everything starts as one, and then it individuates and individuates, and becomes different tribes and cultures and teachings and spiritual practices, and sometimes it gets orthodoxed and becomes dogma way out there. And so what we're inviting back in, the cis, all the liberating parts of that tradition, all the liberated parts, come on back in Rudra, and get Shiva to lighten up and dance and be a little more for real, not just a cute blue guy, right? And so are playing in these realms. So yeah, as I forgot the exact Turkish, a Turkish astrologer, wonderful friend of mine, gave me the Rumi quote, and I have the exact words that are translated as stress and challenge. So as Rumi, the astrologer poet, yes, he was an astrologer. When stress and challenge form in the sky, you cannot escape. The only way is to dance towards it in full embrace. And I think just here we go. This is going to be right. And as somebody commented, he goes, "The time of trickster spiral dancing unfurling before us." But come on in, all Jupiter Uranus, all liberating blessings from all the traditions, made manifest, and everywhere the necessary miracle underneath all the strife is, people wetting the earth, going, humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius. That's the Uranus transit. And it's like it's impossible, and it's the only game in town, or the only infinite game in town. We remember that wonderful James Carse, finite games about winning, infinite games about keeping everything in play. Everything in play. So it's all one thing, and it individuates, goes way, way out there. And then now it's like calling it back in, keeping all of the, all of the learning from its unique journey way out there, but back into participatory kinship. I go, so as we, yeah, and then I couldn't resist because I love it so much. Let us be available. And available, such a good word. And then I remind myself to re look it up in the OED, because it's even more wonderful. It's beneficial, valid, effective, capable of producing the desired effect. So one word, available, let us be available. Let us put our cloak of availability in our vessel. To don it on. Sometimes, not at home, not available, and then we put our cloak of it where we are now available. It's fun to have things. When I had a really authentic Santeria divination in Cuba, and they said, "Yeah, my very wonderful image at the bottom of our missive, is here, and she claims you as her daughter." And I'm like, "Oh, I knew it, I knew it." Right in Santeria. All the Orishas, all the intelligences, all the planets, there is a correlation, not exact, between planets and Orishas and everything, because that's why we have many things, because none of them exactly equal, and they all contribute more, all different kinds of stories, really great. But I suspected it was Yemaya, and it was confirmed. And then they said, "Well, you must receive your calorace." Oh, they're upstairs. I should dust off. We should dust off our totems. Your initiatory necklaces, because even if you wear them hidden, it will be like a ship's banner, so that when you sail into town, your team will know you're here. And I go, "Oh, that's cool." Right. And that's, I think, part of the Saturn dynamic right now is as we hone, as we, even imbue qualities in imaginary garb or real things that we have, everything is alive now, and everything we get to ask it, like, "Do you want to go to somebody else?" "Yes, we do." I have a whole, different sort of archaeological layers of things that I love, but they want to travel. And that was always the indigenous understanding, hence the misunderstanding of Indian giver, right? Which is Native people would say, "Here's this beautiful pipe," and but settlers were like, "Oh, thank you very much. We will lock it away in a museum." And then they'd come back in a year or so and go, "Oh, the pipe wants to come back." And they go, "Indian giver." It's like, no, everything's alive and autonomous, and that idea of democracy everywhere If it's democracy and tyranny, democracy everywhere, like, where do you want to go? A little book, a little thing. What would you like? What's your story? What would you like? How can we bless each other in our journey? Inviting in, miraculous synchronicity at some difficult, powerful, dark time. So, so available, beneficial, valid, effective, capable of producing the desired effect. So, and we can change all these words, right? Let's go. Susan, that's great. Susan says, I'm sitting in front of a roaring fire for us all tonight. Right, that's the sun's image. The image is Susan sitting in front of a blazing fire. The unconditional dedication of the self with all of its skills. Thank you for doing that for us, Susan, for literalizing the image, right? And all ritual magic is just literalized metaphor, right? You want to cool somebody out, you write their name on a piece of paper and put it in an ice cube tray. Interesting, but and fun and sometimes effective. But it can get, it has to be done with a loving attitude, right? That's really super great. Right, styles and qualities of consciousness, says Sandra, instead of archetypes, potentials embedded in nature appearing secondarily. Right, we just want to stir it, right? There's no one right thing. It's just all really good, more words and even like the Turkish guys, or sounds, ding ding there on ding ding on ding ding. And for us to be liberated in our expression and our conversations. To not just words, but sounds. I mean, I without knowing it, I mean, apparently I do this a lot in talks and like, but it's like, and Mercury, our mind, our voice, our intellect, our hands. In many culture, people speak with their hands, and what's going on? You're actually, it's like Middle Eastern dance. You're inviting energy in. You're moving it around. It's a part of our skill. Which gotten sort of tamped down, but Mercury in Sagittarius, it's stationed at this degree, the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend democracy from tyranny. That's the year. Thank you, Mercury. That's really right. But again, to move one's hands, just to a lot of what the deconditioning that we've earned, is not even a self-conscious effort. It's just kind of relaxing, again, undulating, moving. It's why, in Santeria, Vodun, many different metaphors, but you invite the intelligence to partner and dance by being available. The availability is the invitation. That's the key. It's like, oh, available. That's it. And I think part of all of us too to navigate this year effectively to conjure partners, allies, all the things we admire anywhere. Anywhere we admire something, it's not hoovering it. It's like, ooh. Admire means go towards that. Like, oh, two drops of that in the brew. Yes, we like that spicy repartee. We like that. We'll just as we go the trickster dynamic. So let me bring up the chart. Archetypes, gods, or cooperators, right? That's right. The cooperators are standing by is always good. Yes, we'll keep playing. All right, so for the fun of it, here's the chart of us now. I think that's it, yeah. So there's a beautiful complexity. Always, I'm just so keyed on these Jupiter Uranus parts of ourselves inwardly and their dance as so trickster opportunity in the midst of this mjapa. And they are allied. They are allied. As Neptune goes forward, it will form a dancing partnership with Neptune, dreams, vision, imagination. Neptune is quintile the sun right now. And as I mentioned in the missive, this quintile was on, New Year's moment. But now it's getting more precise. So it says the nature of this year absolutely is a woman, in this case, Susan, part of all of us in the dream, sitting before a blazing fire, the unconditional dedication of the self with all of its skills. And it's like that's super Capricorn practical, you know, to Neptune, power of dreams, vision. Neptune's image, it's in its home sign, new moon divides its influences, sowing seeds for the cycle, sorting out potential life paths. And again, really it's, you know, it's the art of being public dreamers. It's the art of atmosphere. And it is squared to Mercury. So these are all themes through the year, right? So on the surface level, beware of bamboozling. Neptune likes us always to say about everything, is that the thing or the symbol of the thing? You know, even, you know, sometimes I go, do I want a beer or the idea of a beer, right? And sometimes it's like, oh, I just really want the idea of it, right? And that's part of how we kind of decode it in the dream world, like, is it the thing or the symbol of the thing is useful? So bamboozling in all the ways in which we're snookered, but each challenge, each strife that we dance towards and embrace contains its remedy. It says, looks like strife, actually an assignment to get quite wonderfully different things dance together, to get two things that were once one, and then were tricked into conflict to dance together in a dynamic. And so it's the two Jupiter realms, it's the Sagittarius, Mars, Mercury realm of outward questing, and the deep, deep inward Piscean Jupiter of inward navigating. And yeah, and love, right? Love Carol Spooner's wonderful dreaming of caves underwater. And we go, ooh, ooh. We've got some champion dreamers in our group. And in wondering about how we want to evolve, you know, it's like some really great people here. And maybe opening channels, you know, quintiles or opening channels and designing the future, you know, so we could have a little more tidal to and fro. We'll think of these things. The dedication grows the form, but so a little more conversation. And somebody was mentioning Ben's fantastic dream that he sent out in email. I'm like, oh, where'd that go? And anyway, all of these things are before us. But it's outward and inward. May the outward journey be an inward journey. May the inward journey guide our outward journey. Outward questing. And it's a little bit like a pulse, like dancing is. It's like out and about, pull back in, pull back in. Everything is in this microform, diaspora, Sagittarius diaspora. And then Neptune is the tide to pull it back in. And see, part of the deal when the reality police falsely estranges things, it goes, no, just Sagittarius, just outward forever, just outward progress for, and it's like, no, out and back in, tidal, rhythmic, cooperating, honoring, you know, seasonal shifts and oceans, you know. So this is part of all of us, Venus and Ceres and Mercury and Mars. And even the part of fortune right now, where I am. So out and about, woo, and then into the dream world, into the imaginary world, you know, to play. Neptune opposes the moon, and so not unlike wonderful Carol Spooner's chart, because we did that today. The moon Neptune connection. It says, you know, for all of us, you know, one story. We are all connected to a lineage of wizards, people, dreamers, again, intimate with the world by being able to read it symbolically. And that's why I put somewhere, you know, strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating intimacy with the power of symbols, dreams, and metaphors. And it's something I've honed, right? We want to take all these things we've been working with over the years and go, what does that mean? And how do we work with this? James Hillman was giving a talk, and we were engaged in a little bit of a public way. And I said that. I said, strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating intimacy with the power of symbols, dreams, and metaphors. And he's like, I like that. I like that. Who said that? I go, I said that. He's like, oh, very good for you. Yes, so that's good news. Whoops, for us. Let me put the eye of Horus back there. So the moon, is also for us now is part of this great conversation. It's got what's called a yod, the moon in Libra, with a 150-degree angle to Jupiter stationing right around New Year's Eve on the 30th, 31st, still at stationing degree. So we have all these conversations. Again, the more, all part of one. We have the two Jupiters, Sagittarius outward questing, Neptune inward dreaming, reflecting, conjuring, tinkering, participating, dreaming the actual world, and then taking it, crossing bridges. Again, heretics cross-pollinating. Have you heard about this? There's also this option. Have you, all of these things from the remote regions. So we have the two Jupiters. Now we have the two Venuses. The moon has just entered Libra. It's the first air this year so far. It started with no air going, ha, ha, oh, we're going to need some levity. But now the moon entered Libra just now for us. And we go, okay, we might feel like convivial gathering is good. And it's got this conversation to Jupiter in Taurus and Uranus in Taurus, the other Venusian realm of sensual kinship, just the smell of dirt, and rosemary and vermilion, and everything is food. Taurus is the most sensually intelligent of all the signs. Everything food, taste, color, texture, like. And Taurus, remember the little circle with the horns, thought of as the bull, but it's not, it's not, it's the most sensually feminine of all the signs. It's the womb and the utopian fluids, the whatever it is, the tubes leading into it, fallopian tubes. There we go. Thank you. Which is why be born. That's right, it's your craft, Elizabeth, right? The fallopian tubes, and the book of fallopians, and many fun things that want to. Why be born? Why does creation create? And it says for participatory pleasure and reciprocal blessing, and helping each other out, even predator prey helping each other out, and everybody getting smarter. That was the point. Everybody getting smarter, predator and prey getting smarter. So this is a great. So the moon to Jupiter, and then the moon 150 degree angle to Saturn and Pisces, and a beautiful 60 degree angle between them. This is called a yod. It's a finger of destiny. It's again a powerful, like a sword in a stone. Feel free to put that in your vessel if you want. Like, okay, all right, not to harm, but justice. Imaginary props are good. If we work it, so it's Libra again, justice, fairness, balance, in accord with nature, in accord with the power of dreaming and dedication. And Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, so it's traveled full empathic circle. It can imagine being everything. So the dream news is we're everything. It's like the tale of the bard Amargan, Celtic lore, Irish, who says his song of becoming, I've been the glint of light on a wave, I've been a boar in its boldness, I've been the guest of 100 kings, I've been everything. So Saturn says, with that full empathy, leadership is dedication to the whole everything. And the best of the liberating traditions in Buddhism, the Buddha won't step off of the cycle of incarnation until everybody's coming with him. Everybody's coming with him. And there's a man who kept trying to murder him, and he's like, no, we're waiting for you. Just way down there. There you go. Here, all the gods are checking their phones, but anyway, waiting for everybody. So this is social participation on behalf of nature, in accord with deep delving, and bringing things back from the Alam al-Mithral, from the dream world. So that's just one part of the dynamic, and then where we a consistent theme for us. So it's moon to Jupiter, moon to Saturn, Saturn making a beautiful 60-degree angle to Jupiter. I was outside right just before now, and Jupiter was very straight up, very, very bright, pretty much overhead now, like whoa. And it's like, okay, and Saturn is 60 degrees away, so you have to go out, Saturn has just set. You have to be out there around 8 to see the Saturn Jupiter sextile, but they're there whether we know it or not, because the dream world knows that the invisible is as equal as anything. And it is, craft your Saturn vessel of dedication. We keep wanting to do this, which is what is our manifesto of dedicated devotion. And Neptune says, just wonder. We wonder what our manifesto of dedicated devotion is. And as we craft it, Jupiter says, whatever you craft, I will fill that. And this is still, we had Jupiter go forward on December 30th on Saturday and Sunday, New Year's Eve. And I did feel that it was a real, Jupiter blessings. May it go well for you, which is why, I was going, I was at a party, but then I felt to leave at before midnight. But I was going, all right, come on, team, blessings, and I just said, let's make evil too expensive, right? And people were like, oh, okay. But there could be loftier. No, I think that's a pretty good one, actually. Anything up to no good, let's just make it way too expensive so the Dementors go, oh, hell, there's no profit in this. Let's guide the good. Let's imagine the desirable, and with trickster ingenuity, because there's well, let me I'll well let me pause there. It's something we've said every time, and it's been kind to journey with us the whole way, which is dedication. And when we go next to Uranus, making a very quirky angle to Mercury, right? Again, many, 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 many expressions on behalf of guiding Earth wisdom. Many, many expressions. I like stability. I like adventure. And we go, right. And again, the quirky angle is now they love each other. This is not a conflict. It's a time sharing with everything out and about, and then pull back into the realm of reverie, which is not right, because people have been posting like Guardian article today on how our phones are, the apps are designed to release dopamine, so we can't put them down. I have found this, so this is not this, right? It's the toxic mimic, right? So it's like I'm not doing anything. I'm just on my phone. It's like, no, that's not the Alam al-Mithral. But all of this is fluid. It could be, it depends on your how you choose to dance with it, right? It's like it is something. But and then just for the fun of it, the Uranus to Mercury is like, well, in many, many areas, where would one like guiding augury and genius? We wonder. And let me just leave the chart for the moment. Oh, there we go. Honor the quintiles, and then just to toss to everybody. So I always say, right, quintiles are irresistible eloquence, right? We so the capacity to hold a true perception and have it be a tuning fork. And it's like, all right, let's see that. And then I always say, my friend Sylvia said, it is that, but it's also the capacity to open portals between worlds. And it's like, okay, let's see that. Because part of what I was just pointing at, and I take it into myself, Sagittarius is pretty, Pisces is pretty woo. So it's we want to have it's sort of like heart rate variability. We want to have many ways of being. I can get kind of speedy, right? And then sometimes I work with people who have very long pauses, and it's great. It's like, oh, wait for it. On radio, sometimes I'm like, are they there? Are they still? Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So if we're all in this dream together, we get to say, well, what's the, what is our dedication, and what do we want to feel like to the world? And another utopian tubes, right? I like utopian tubes. Thank you, Sandra. Right, and then just one other little thing. There's so much, and people can ask me questions about, well, anything, or comment. Again, at this point, really, really super useful. So for me, I'll just point at Neptune, because then I really want to go into the medley of this beautiful, rousing Palestine song. So what did everybody feel like doing on New Year's Eve? I fled the enough humans, and then I fled the humans, going, must be out under the sky, it must be out under the sky. Want to make it home just with the critters, that it's like, and then this rousing song, which is such a an anthem. You've heard it, and we're going to hear it a couple more times, because I just put it on and move and dance to it. And it's Neptune, the Alam El Mithral, for me, the Palestine song, and you'll see it with subtitles of meaning in a moment. You know, it's the place between, it's the place between, it's the musical realm. Remember, our word to dream comes from an Old English word, dreamon, which meant two things. It meant to dream and to make music. So making music is a way of participating in dreaming the world into being. So I love this anthem. We're going to hear three versions of it just because I love it so much. And I put it on at night with the dogs, and take our walk with it. So here's the first version, with the meanings, the Palestine medley. Here we go. There we have that. The volume was a little low, but we have two more things to go. It's good. It's good for dancing under the stars and going, whoo, and the meanings, the kinship with the earth. That's the crucial Jupiter Uranus gift to us as they move into place. Jupiter going forward, Uranus stationing, going forward in January, on their way to April 21st, where they conjoin, which I just think is, if we have our structures, our desires, our dedicated manifestos in place, that it will, the Alam El Mithral would like to enter into molecular actual reality. So here's a second version of the song, and it's Swedes. And just to remind us, this song, which is everywhere now, right? It was written in the 70s, by George Tatari, a Palestinian from Nazareth who moved to Sweden, Gothenburg, during the 60s. And he wrote this song to tell the story about Palestine and the apartheid forces on them. So, written in the 70s, it found its moment, right? Here we go. So here's our second version. Swedes dancing. Right, so we want everywhere, all traditions, all Nordic, everything, just everything, Palestine, Sweden, Mexico, Cuba, just everything. It's a huge, this song is being played by people gathering with mostly really good-hearted intent everywhere. And then we have the last one, but it's that we've seen before in our journey together, but it's so beautiful to remind us it's the Rubik's Cube, this song, and to remind us that beauty is ingenious and powerful, right? This is part of the Venus dynamic of now, beauty, with a dedicated, heartful intent. So here's our next version, the Rubik's Cube of the Palestinian song. I mean, just look at the ingenuity. Look at the ingenuity. You're solving the mathematical puzzles because the next thing you want is red. It's like, oh, ingenious beauty, watching it come together. It's magic. It's like we're watching something from the Alam Mithral enter into the Taurus world, because it's like, ooh, what is it? It's colors and things. Oh, it's a shape. It's an incarnational vessel. That's just really super great. And then we as we've been pondering, just let me move these things around. Right. So, and as Sandra says, the soul is born in beauty, feeds on beauty, needs beauty for its existence. Ah, from James Hillman. How wonderful. Well, we want to think of all of the people we've learned from and traveled with, and everybody, that's the Sagittarius tolerance. Everything befoibled, everyone, everything, no one, anything, brew it all together. I've had to clarify on my Facebook realm going, I post things not because they're perfect, but because I think they're interesting and we might want to converse about it. Going, I didn't like their headline. You're right. That's true. Edit. Let's edit that. Here we go. So no one thing, but many things. And so, yeah, so James Hillman, right, and it was conversation with him in which we both said together, the opposite of aesthetic is, and we both said, anesthetic, right, how cool, right? Either you have beauty or you're asleep. So there's no solution to anything without beauty. No democracy possible without beauty. No, it's got to be beautiful, anesthetic, or we're anesthetized. Right. And so this is also part of the beauty, of I'll just say these things, and as we journey along, the moon in Libra with its yod to Jupiter and Taurus, cultural expression on behalf of what we love, rich colors. The Rubik's Cube just now that we saw was a great example of that. Well, it was a great example of that yod, really. Let me play with it just to show you. It's So the yod was, art, with things, the building blocks of creation, right? It's what you see on DMT. You sort of see Rubik's cubes going, oh, right, it's all constructed that way. But different plants, different entheogens give access to different worlds. It's like, oh, that's the Rubik's Cube structural basis of the world of the that supports the Alam El Mithral. And really everybody invited to conjure and co-create their own origin myth, right? Going, so beauty, ingenuity, with a great dedication. And we go just that the Rubik's Cube that's enough really right there. And then Johannes, part of our journey, and all invited to keep conversing after our night tonight, just to and fro and to wonder what form we might want to reassemble. But things that are we're planting that are keeping going, the chart of Israel, with its sun at 23 degrees of Taurus. Let me bring that into play. All right, so just for the fun of it, okay. So it is part of our collective dream. The inner rim is the chart of Israel, and the outer rim are where the planets are now. So part of us, and anything, anywhere is everywhere. So many people have been doing, personal readings for, and just charts all over the place. Something at 23 degrees. Something at 23 degrees, and so it's like, ooh, 23 degrees is just humming, it's because it's the Uranus station, August, September behind us, a sweep through in the spring of 2024, and the entire end of 2024 into 2025, Uranus stations at 23 Taurus. So what is liberating? What is liberating from the land? What is, a kind of lightning strike coming down, met by an upwelling. Cooperators are standing by, and so we have a good statement of that in Standing Together, which we're now going to watch and to then to animate that this is one great way to play that. So here's Standing Together. We go to the Alam Mithral while we're waiting. Oh, there we go.
Hundreds of people have been taking part in a pro-peace rally on the streets of Tel Aviv. The demonstrators are calling for an immediate end to the war in Gaza. It's been organized by Standing Together, a grassroots organization including Jewish and Palestinian Israeli citizens.
We understand that this way of wars, one war after the other, has achieved nothing. It's achieved only destruction and death and more hatred between the people. And we are here to say that only a way of Israeli-Palestinian peace, ending the occupation, achieving a reality of equality and freedom and even independence to everyone on this land, only this will achieve security to me as a Jewish Israeli citizen. This way of controlling millions of people that are not Israeli citizens, Palestinians living under the occupation of Israel, cannot bring us security. It can only bring us resistance and violence, and we see where it led us.
That's the way to go, right? I mean, that's the way to go. It's like yes, and then just to remind us of the gods being with us on that one. It's like, yes, that's what Uranus we started. What does it mean for for Israel to divorce itself, or it's the land everywhere, the land awakening, and as the person said, equal rights. Everyone gets a place to live, and the more diverse, different foods, different languages, different cultures. It's these the places I've always wanted to live are these confluence places, like Yeah, they're not easy, you know, because we haven't been easy with difference. But like Cape Town, South Africa, it's like all of Africa pours down into Cape Town, all the animals and flora and fauna and the energy, and the two oceans meet at the very tip where you can hardly walk because the winds are so high, and you can see the oceans are different colors, and it's like, whoa. And Cape Town itself, I have often thought, like, if I'd been assigned Cape Town, that would be like interesting forever. Because it's, harmony out of, it's in the Quran, not in Cape Town, but in the Quran, there's this great passage where, Muhammad goes to Gabriel and says, we could have had no war, no conflict at all in the world if you'd made us all alike. And Gabriel says, but Allah would have none of that, none of that. He said, the greater challenge is to come into accord from difference, 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 difference. Right? And we go, oh, that's really great. Yeah, and that's the thing. Again, the diaspora, one thing, diaspora, and then come back in wiser, more tolerant, more woof woof, want to play, want to combine, want to put things together, like Middle Eastern, Southwestern. I mean, just all the different things that brew our uniqueness, uniqueness. So this is part of that journey, and what was said there is like, right, the spirit of democracy rising up through the land, from the land. Into this is the trickster realm, and part of us says, oh, but that's so difficult, and anything that seems impossible, going that would be very difficult. Trickster backstage goes, harder not to, right? Oh, that'd be very hard to do, to come into accord, harder not to. It's like, right, okay, it wants to happen, it wants to happen. And and also just, in I can't remember, one of you wonderful people gave an homage, maybe it was Susan, I'm not sure, to chosen can mean a good thing, from last week, because I was saying chosen people really may be a tired mythology, and any sneaky form it wends its way into all of our micro lives, going the 144, those who will be saved and those not saved, the those who are not reptiles and reptiles, and anything like that. And but somebody here, please feel free to gave a good homage for why, chosen might be okay. And then I mull it over, like I like to mull everything over, and I go, but chosen by whom, right? Chosen is by something. It's like the, it was also my ongoing desire to edit out the word empower, which was way overused from the get-go, because it is a governmental term. You empower a committee. Something empowers that, right? It's not endogenous, it's not democratic, really, it's not anarcho, it's not the self. So chosen by another, well, and there's still great conversing to be had. Maybe chosen by a wizard, maybe, but still something chose that as opposed to self. I'm just, in our ongoing mulling things over, I think it's kind of interesting to play with. And then many, many, many great comments coming in here. But I liked Rabbi Menachem Froman says, what I want for myself, I must w also want for others to have. I want a Jewish state. If I want a Jewish state, I must want that there to be an Arab state. I love Jerusalem. I have to want them to have Jerusalem too. No. It's part of our conversation about the Western occult path of desire, of Mars. Here's Mars. Mars is on Israel's Jupiter. Traditional astrologers would say, oh, that doesn't look good. Everything has a shadow. Jupiter's like more, boom, boom. And we go, no. Fortunately, we're inviting in Neptune. Wait, Neptune, here we go. Neptune squaring it, right? So it's like for any, and this is where we want to play, anything explosive, cruel, up to no good, Neptune, may it whoosh. It's our atmospheric playfulness into effectiveness. May anything explosive, up to no good, fizzle. Like a wet firecracker fart. Now there's a pretty amped up war machine everywhere, so we're trying. But I've seen in in our dream, in our trickster training council, with also the police chief of Atlanta, joining us at one point, sent wafting atmospheric mist to Tulsa, troubled city, place of massacre, place of one of Trump's rallies. And I said, well, we're just conjuring atmospheric mist of everybody concoct your own, right? Lavender and psilocybe mushrooms. That's what I put in my atmospheric mist. You know, add more things as you want, everything real, everything symbolic, and wafted it over Tulsa so that anything up to no good fizzled like a wet firecracker fart. And that's what happened. I mean, it did. You know, we don't claim status or what, we're just contributing to the trickster flow going right. So, you know, and just to bring up things, when I was at the water council and the machine wasn't working, that an invention that ran on only one tablespoon of water and the rest, one tablespoon of petroleum and the rest on water, and all the news people were there and it wasn't working, and the inventor was embarrassed, and the cold fusion physicist said maybe it just needs more pressure, and he leaned on it. And then here's what I'm saying, available to all of us if we are dedicated and honing our crafts, or at least our availability and willingness, path opens. So I just sensed the moment, and I stepped in, and I put one hand on the machine and one hand on the inventor, and I asked the inventor, do you vow that this technology will never be used for war? And he goes, I do. And the engine came to life, like, blah, blah, boom, blah, blah, boom. And all the scientists were so happy that it's not just them. It's not just us. That's the Alam al-Mithral. And that's maybe where we want to be more playfully serious about the quintiles and the opening portals between worlds. Like, so what do we want to invite in? And in speaking with my esteemed colleague of decades, you know, Sylvia, she holds the more traditional and often gloomy perspective, it's good to check in with, because I go, quintiles, I so love them, but, you know, people who do terrible things have them, you know, Putin. And it's like, what's the capacity to open portals between worlds? You can appear and disappear, you have cunning. So, you know, as Uranus always says, to Israel and the Israel land and the land of Palestine and to Anas Esbeta, the young baby that we honored in his chart and wish him well. We wish him well. We don't know his fate. Born August 16th, 2023, with the sun at 23 Leo and Uranus at 23 Taurus. No, that baby is the now. And we go, oh, so wishing all liberating blessing and well, and what would it mean to open portals between worlds? Well, the little baby, you know, who's so like now, Anas Esbeta, he does, let me put Israel away and then just bring, let me just put the, we had Anas Esbeta born August 16th, 2023, you know, in Gaza. And so dark of the moon, prophecy degree, Mars, same as Barack Obama's Mars, trines Uranus, genius. But under, you know, he is the explosive thing, Uranus, 23 Taurus square, sun at 23 Leo, humans in the land, what will we do with it? And his beautiful magic Jupiter at 14 Taurus, in the midst of a wild storm, a stranger walks into town wearing a silk top hat, carrying a large black bag, the doctor, magician, collaborator with natural forces. And we go, but the reason I went over here is that he has a Jupiter-Saturn quintile. And I've seen this in people and babies in difficult circumstances, and we just speak to this part of them. You can open portals between worlds. We want you to live. You're an escape artist. We just see portals between worlds, because if you might remember his story, it was the Washington Post story on him as a little premature baby, and his parents couldn't see him. They weren't allowed to for 45 days, and they finally see him in Al-Shifa Hospital. And there, he's alive, he's almost ready to be released. There's bombing. He's released. And they say, well, he needs more medical treatment. We can take him to Egypt, but not with you. And they're like, we can't let him go. You know, he will stay here with us and his four siblings, and we will live together or die together. And we go, all right, we don't know. We don't know what happened. Okay. But we go, by the power of our quintiles, by the power of, you know, Anas Es Betas quintiles between Jupiter and Saturn, may we see pathways through which, you know, one may safely work through. And again, seeing these things in our own quintile dynamic. So we go, all right, so blessings on this little ingenious being. It's the micro of the whole large thing. Just two, you know, on our altars, we put one specific intimate example of a whole huge, vast thing. But in that chart, and his north node is through imagination, lost opportunities are regained. And we go, yay, life. And that's really part of the, you know, Jupiter Uranus, and then Uranus here. We'll just come back to the chart. It's very, this is very yay life. This is like bodies, good to be here. Taste, smell, so many interesting ways of participating. Yum, yum, yum. Why not? And again, the big dream, like everywhere blooming with collaborative ingenuity. And then, however, again, many artists and good dreamers here too, to draw it, to conjure it, to open portals, to invite it, like the cave paintings, you know, were there as doorways to dance between the fire pit while playing music with the paintings. Come on in, blooming. Come on in, the renewal of the land of Israel, part of the dream, part of the dream. So there. And then Carol Spooner says another term like to empower is to honor, such things as we must honor there, even if it is expressing itself through cruelty, war, genocide. I'm not sure. Another term like to empower is, oh, to honor. Oh, I that was very honoring. I think that's right. Yeah, and so when people would say, that was very empowering. What would you replace it with? And I usually go for encouraging, feeding the heart. That was encouraging, you know, we were encouraged. Feed the heart. But empower is a little outsourced Saturn. But to honor, and I'm not sure what you were saying, but what it reminds me of, Carol Spooner, is like when people say it's been a privilege to be here, and I go, oh no, because the etymology of privilege is privé legé, private law. And it's like, there you have it. Privilege is equals private law. And so I prefer the word honor, like, you know, it's been an honor to be here. It's been a privilege. It's been a private law. I wasn't arrested by the police on my way here because I'm privileged. I operate by private law. So just there's that. I like the notion, Sally says, I like the notion feeling of using the word welcome to replace chosen. We are the welcome people. We are the welcome wagon, or welcoming. If you make it a gerund, it's even more fun. We have been chosen to be the welcoming people. Come on in, you're all welcome here. Would you like a sandwich and some soup and tell us your stories? Yes, we have been welcomed. Well, again, it's play, you know. Right now, it's like, you know, try words, see what they feel, you know. And there's nothing more fun. Again, the lost art of editing, when I had a ghost editor for a book, but it was so fun because, you know, he would say, you know, Jamie Yeager, he would say, no, that's not quite the right word, and it's like, yeah, you're right, and it's like, how about this? How about this? And how about this? Yes. Right. And they found, neurologists have found that when they wire people's brains up, when people are putting a puzzle piece in place, the brain has an orgasm. It goes, oh, yeah. You know, and it's the same thing about not the right word, not the right word. Oh, It's a little sensual body brain orgasm, which is good for us. It's got to be good for the brain to have orgasms. And so, but I love that puzzle piece. And so, even watching the Rubik's Cube, that we're not doing it, but boy, that guy is doing it. Think of the brain orgasms he's having, like, whoa, when you put a piece in place, and that's the whole world. It's like, ooh, the whole world having a brain orgasm to go, and then that's the beauty of biomimicry. And you put it in place, and it's like, oh, it's so beautiful. It transcends strife and conflict. And the work of Jeanine Benyus, many of you know her. I talk about her often. There's TED Talks, essential. It's really the sine qua non for the Jupiter Uranus world we want to implement, that we're being given a Hail Mary pass of opportunity this year in the midst of so much incentive. Like, whoa, death or anything else. So Jeanine Benyus, when you see her, the Biomimicry Institute and the designs, and the website that she and E.O. Wilson put together called asknature.org, and I haven't been there lately, I confess, it's changed somewhat, but it used to be, and I'm sure it's something like, it's an incredible resource, because it would open with a question box: Jupiter, Jupiter Sagittarius, Jupiter Pisces. It would open the question box, and you would type in any design question you had in any part of life, in any part of your life, and it would tell you how nature solves that. And it was like, wow, oh, cool. Anyway, so that was a great gift. We've been given so much gifts of incredible access to words and knowledge and nature patterns. I mean, that was Jeanine Benyus and E.O. Wilson before he died, gift to people, incredible resource of designs from nature. And that's our two Venuses. That's the moon in Libra and the Jupiter in Taurus. It's the, again, designs from nature into human culture. And it resolves strife and brings peace because it's so powerfully elegant. Because when people see the solution, they go, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. It's so aesthetic. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of anesthetic. And yeah, there's a million examples. I just carry around one that I've told you before, but I'll tell you again because it seems to be the one I keep in my pocket. But it works for audiences of nerds, because the Japanese high-speed bullet train had a design flaw in that it would enter and exit tunnels and create a sonic boom that broke people's windows. And remember, in praise of Venus and Venus and art and collage from all over, the other environmental guy is saying, the ship crossing the ocean, who's in charge? And people go, the captain. He goes, no, the designer. The designer. And all of the major issues we're facing now are all design issues, right? Venus was once leadership, right? When we talk about outsourcing, and that's part of our assignment today, this moment, this year, really, Venus in Sagittarius square Saturn in Pisces. For Venus, from in many, many forms of expressing, the artist, the writer, the creator, the crafter, the all life is art, the poet, the collage artist, the cave painter, as Saturn leadership design. So in the so the Japanese high-speed bullet train people, they go to Jeanine and the Biomimicry Institute, and she says, as our chart says to all of us, look at nature. And watch how a kingfisher bird enters water in this kind of little, with hardly a splash, right? And so they redesign the front of the Japanese high-speed bullet train to be like a kingfisher bird entering water, and it enters and exits the tunnel with no disturbance in the field, no disturbance in the field. And it's like we have so many solutions, Jupiter Uranus. We know by mimicking nature, we know how to make engines quiet, right? We know how to make engines quiet. All this boom, boom is just immature, masturbatory, Mars out of control. Boom, boom. Spiral vortex technology, spirals sacred to Venus, can make machines that are quiet, that don't disrupt and kill everything in the ocean. That's like, oh, sugar. These are all available. We want to see the portals opening. And that's why all of us, as kind of ambassadors, dream ambassadors, the more we know, like, did you know about this? Oh, no, I didn't. See, that's a quintile thing. Did you know about this? No, tell me. All right, did you know about this cool thing? Oh, that is pretty cool. It's no conflict. It's no conflict. It's just educating, crossing borders, spiraling out of polarity. Because as we head into this year, tyranny feeds on polarity, and we go right. And tyranny does terrible things, which makes us outraged, which then feeds it. It's very tricky. So we have our cloak of living ducks, or whatever you want to do, right? So that anything, any taunt, any provocation into like, oh yeah, just rolls right off us like water on a duck's back, or any fantastic wardrobe accoutrement you want to conjure for self. Invisibility is a traditional mystery school practice, and that really works. I mean, Gurdjieff, in the Russian Revolution, he and his students, they learned invisibility so they could move through war. When I was in a crackpot Gurdjieff school, we did learn how to do that. Your cloak of invisibility. Those are all the fairy tale things are metaphorically available. And I remember, and a lot of these things were a little too paranoid psychic defense things, because it's like whatever you have, you're going to use it. It's like so we don't need a gun because you're probably going to use it. And the cloak of invisibility. Sometimes it's good to be prepared. Something, we just reach from all of our traditions way back in the rebirthing community in the early 80s, affirmations. But one that I've found quite effective, they can sound cheesy, but try them out. I am always invisible to the authorities except when I request their assistance. That one is really useful. I remember making an illegal left turn in back of many people making illegal left turns, and there was a cops right there. And I'm like, I am always invisible to the authorities except when I request their assistance. And the car in front of me, and the car in back of me, and you go right through, madam. And it's like, okay, experiment, experiment, experiment. But the cloak of invisibility, might. We can put things in our vessels that we might need, right? And that was just one imagined oneself enveloped in cool blue, kind of an Aquarius color, just cool blue. And I remember my brother at one point saying, this was when we were in the crackpot school, going, where'd you go? Oh, it's like your entire energy field just vanished. It's like, so there's many ways. When crossing Dartmoor, the spooky realm, and or any spooky realm where manners to the invisibles are important, which is any spooky realm, and this is a spooky year, so the whole year is a spooky realm. And it's fun to do things as playful ritual rather than superstition. So in Dartmoor, before you head out into a tricky journey, you might take off your shirt and you'd put it on inside out, an act of reversal to acknowledge that you're about to walk on sacred magic spirit land. And so you've done this act of reversal. And by doing that, by having manners, the spirits of the place go, all right, then you get safe passage, right? We won't lead you into quicksand. So there's that. Spiral sacred to Venus, Use Mor. No, this is pretty crucial. So it's from Michael Schneider, whom I call a myth petition, and him saying, one of the greatest losses of intimacy in the modern world was when the teaching of math was divorced from the teaching of nature. Everything, see, everything. When did we put the gods in heaven rather than down on the earth? And I mean, all of this is humming now. And when he said that, I go, oh, I could have loved math, right? When the teaching of math was divorced from the teaching of nature. It's sort of like in the Golden Compass, the Philip Pullman really ingenious, trippy books, when people are separated from their daemon, their animal spirit, or separated from the earth. That's the whole crisis and solution and resolution now everywhere, separated from the earth. and people separated from the earth, sometimes they make it, but sometimes they grow up to be cruel people who separate others from the earth, right? And that's the Israeli Middle Eastern whole dynamic of possession. And so a thing to do also for any peoples possessed by cruel, murderous psychosis as a spirit, I think the metaphor of possession is really useful. And just for us all in a kind of guided way, in wondering, what in the human psyche made so many people susceptible to QAnon or to crackpot things in the astrology community and the yoga community, and whatever we wonder, we get answers. And I go, dogma, dogma. Anytime you believe something and derive status from it, but you haven't worked it or earned it, susceptible to the thing. And then that model of possession, and possessed by mob mind or psychosis or cruelty. And you can't, as we know, talk anybody out of a cult. I've been in many in the early years. I know a lot about cults. And you can't talk anybody out of a cult. But you can go to the core Alam al-Mithral, the dream world, and dissolve that possession. And what I always use, but we'll animate it here together from nature. Possums and honey badgers are immune to cobra venom. Cobra venom, like COVID and like psychosis, is a marvel of symmetry. Cobra venom just locks right into mammalian breathing, like click. So honey badgers and possums have evolved so their receptors have shrunk, right? So the venom no longer fits. I like us just even now in a micro magic moment, to imagine in the human psyche the receptors to tyranny and psychosis and cruelty are shrinking, so the tyranny psychosis no longer fits, so that we're dissolving tyranny, dominance, and cruelty out of the human repertoire. It says, dream big, play fair. Just open the portals, going, wouldn't that be nice, right? Just to imagine that thing, again, to shrink the receptors. And it's part of, well, ongoing forever. We'll not do it now, but perhaps in some form in the future. But there's so many liminal states. There's so many people in, because we don't have the vocabulary for Neptune and the Alam al-Mithral, we have a lot of terms of dementia or Alzheimer's or spaciness. And remember, it used to be more playful when we talked about people going to the funny farm, right? The funny farm was where you got to be funny and quirky, or at least in movies, maybe not the horrific, probable reality. But it's like, what did this want to be? Again, a greater tolerance for the Alam al-Mithral and for whimsy and pixelated, remember, is an Irish term for, oh, a little whatever. And it's like pixelated, talking to the spirits. We want a little more room for this mystery realm, the Alam al-Mithral, and where we started, we're all in this dream together. And that's the model, pressure comes down and it erupts through thin membranes. So we're all in this dream together. So my friend who's the forensic psychiatrist, no personal crime, it's all a public dream. Going, ooh. And then back to just where we're just flowing what we got started here, but to keep it going in all of us, if we understand things as a dream, symbolically, the news as a dream, we can shapeshift into participation in that dream, which is not bound by the rules of realism. You can have the pack of wolves, whisk people out under the stars. You can have the, again, this, whimsy, wisdom and whimsy. And Neptune is very much about what have we forgotten but must remember, and what have we constrained or dissed? What have we dissed? What have we undervalued? And we go, whimsy, playful, myriad perspectives, looking at things from many, many, many different angles. So there. Immunity against the Wetiko virus of the mind. My brother's way into the Wetiko virus. And I've talked to that guy, but it's very, very polar, isn't it? And at one point I had him, I hosted him on radio and then also hosted him on the Trickster Training, whatever. I can't remember his name, but he's made it his big thing. And I said, well, but you base so much of your life on against the Wetiko virus, what if it was all resolved and you didn't have it anymore? And he's like, no, it's mine. It's only this is the only story. It's like, oh, that's a problem. It's where I left the Christian church, the Nicene Creed, the only religion, the only story, the only, it's like, no, I don't think there's any only. But yes, so immunity against the Wetiko virus of the mind. I would just playfully quibble, again, against. We're kind of working on replacing against with dancing, with cooperating, and I have, I have tested these things. I've driven these things in underworld medical adventure, like, whoa, right? And then I go, all right, no, we're not battling. No, that's the opening words of everybody's obit. You lose your battle. You lose battles. Whatever Ursula Guin says, we strengthen whatever we're against or whatever we resist. And it's like, and so I do know when meeting demons in the underworld and daunting things like, whoa, what's your story? What's your story? Oh, and how could we dance? And what is it you want? And let's make a Uranus trickster deal. If this, then this, anyways, just, lots of plays, ways to play. Okay, so do we want to, oh yes, sending baby Anas and his family an invisibility cloak to hide from all cruel dementors and a bomb deflecting cloak, right? We just play. We just play with the protoplasm of reality. Absolutely. Is it from rather than against? Oh wait, you'll have to say it out loud. Immunity against or immunity from. Oh, I see. Well, whatever, feel free to anybody can you I think everybody can unmute themselves if you want. So because at this point, as we prepare to deconvene, what is in our vessels? Our vessels are filled with a magic backpack, and the magic backpack is filled with a bag of liberating lightning and that's filled with something, right? It's the English rounds, hey, how the, right. And it's full of forgiveness, a bag of forgiveness, meaning to give energy for change. And anything else you want to type in or say out loud that you want to put in your vessel as we prepare to waft forth, remembering that we are the medicine. We are dreamed up by the divine, and the part of us that dreams and imagines and makes music is responsible, has a responsibility, opportunity to participate in dreaming the world into being. So anything, words of witness, Jane Chabatari says, are we putting words of witness in our vessel? Okay. Yes. Okay, words of witness. All right, we're putting words of witness, and everybody, you're packing your boat. We began with the image, a party of campers packing their canoe at twilight. We go, oh, well, it's twilight and winter now, so we're packing our canoes, and what is everybody putting in their canoe? So we have metaphoric agility. I go, remember to pack your metaphoric agility. But I forgot to. I went way off on a tangent. I went way Sagittarius, and now I'm coming back into. I went way out, and now I'm coming back into spaciness. It's all happening, the spiral. So in his book, Mythmagician Michael Schneider has a beginner's guide to constructing the universe, in which each chapter is a number and how you see it in nature, and the number five is what gives rise to spirals in nature. And spirals are nature's way of resolving conflict. And that's why we've spoken of it some before, but there can never be enough. Cultures with spirals decorating everything tend to be no warfare, high art, high culture, no warfare cultures. It's the Aikido, it's the thing, it's the, whenever conflicting forces come together, spirals ensue. Hot smoke into cooled air, cold cream into hot coffee, galaxies, everything, hurricanes. And when I asked Michael, what do hurricanes want? Because we want to ask that about everything. What do hurricanes want? He goes, they want what we all want. They want peace. They're taking huge conflicting forces and trying to move them to the North Pole to create peace. But we have made such extreme conflict, right, in our human way of being and in the natural world, because it's all one thing, huge. And so the storms are bigger. It's they can't move to the North Pole. So yes. Oh, you go, Aaron. That's so fast, and a beginner's guide to constructing the universe. There it is. Wonderful, erudite person, Michael Schneider. Yeah, and participatory, all of that. So oh, good. Oh, Martine Sim says Eros in all forms, an open heart, courageous love. Excellent. We're putting that in our boats. Right. What is Oshun's number two? It's a percentage point, says Sandra. But yes, good. Songs and chants to dance march to along our way. Right. Lightness of being, mirth and whimsy. Yes. And liberating blessings, and many, many keys. All of our mentors, all of our traditions have given us keys, and we are available to put the keys in the locks, in all these wonderful packages that we have in our boat. And it reminds me, I have many packages I haven't opened upstairs, going, okay, it's time to open the packages, to open the gifts. Five, Aaron Alloy says, yes, five. Thank you. Five is the number of Oshun. Yes, it is Venus, Oshun. Oshun, very Venus. Thank you. That's great. That's great. Wonderful songs and chants, lightness of being, mirth and whimsy. We're just saying that again because dreaming words of witness. Let it be lovely from Mark. Words of witness more. May war-making beings grow honey badger-type receptors to cruelty and fear. Yep, that's good. There we go. All right, I think that's it. I think that's it. All right, so then we will close with this beautiful reverie that we opened with, which is Natalia Lafourcade and the words of Maria Sabina. Just so wonderful to, I think, move and undulate. And as we hear this gentle, powerful community thing, we've got our vessels filled. You can still, in mind's eye, be packing your boat, and we're setting sail and wafting, liberating, spiraling, liberating blessings out into world, and receiving, spiraling forth and receiving. So here's Natalia Lafourcade.
Los rayos de la luna. Cúrate, mijita, el dolor con el sonido del río, la cascada y la espuma. Con el vaivén del mar que va y viene, deja que te agarre. Con el vaivén del mar que va y viene, deja que te ame. Ponle amor al té en lugar. estrella. Cúrate, mijita, el dolor con nuestra luz del sol y los rayos de la luna. Cúrate, mijita, con los besos que te sopla el viento, los abrazos de lluvia. Con el vaivén del mar que va y viene, deja que te agarre. Con el vaivén del mar que va y viene, deja que te ame. Cúrate, mi niña, con amor del más bonito y enciende el fuego. Entrega tus dolores, que se vuelvan polvo y vengan nuevas flores. Que se vuelvan polvo, que se vuelvan polvo todos los dolores. Que los queme el fuego, que los queme el fuego y vengan nuevas flores. Que se vuelvan polvo, que se vuelvan polvo todos los dolores. Que los queme el fuego, que los queme el fuego y vengan nuevas flores.
Sail forth, little diasporas, to Cispera. Good journeys, good journeys, good journeys.